us has as a committee and as a board member, but it seems to me we're at a point as an institution, given where higher ed is going, the challenges we have, that visiting, revisiting, reestablishing strategic plan, Mike, has got to be a very high priority over all these things we're talking about.
I agree.
How we affect in finance, how you affect in academic, all comes back to where are we going to go and how are we going to function. Where does that fit in that? That's not really a role of the board individually, but
that's
it's
right.
A role of our responsibility to make sure it happens.
Yeah, you said it exactly well, and that is, I'm not a big fan of boards doing strategic planning.
It's very clear in your book. You said
oh,
that.
Yeah, it is, right, yeah. We edited that hard.
Yeah, you did.
But I'm not. It's not practical. And yet the board needs to, again, a strategic plan becomes a policy, becomes a roadmap. It affects the work that your committee is called upon to do, and the Academic Affairs Committee as well in framing the strategic agenda. You can't not have a strategic plan. You can't ask a new president not to have a vision and a strategic plan. But I think the board, as that book says, charges the president to develop a realistic and at the same time forward-looking strategic plan to engage as appropriate, because as he and his team go through the strategic planning process, they're going to want to come before this board or various committees and test their assumptions to make sure that the board is comfortable building policies that facilitate aspects of that strategic plan, and then ultimately to formally endorse the strategic plan. At the end of the day, well, y'all may not have done the strategic plan. You'll be sufficiently familiar with his team's thoughts that you own it. It's not healthy for an institution, for a president, a couple of years later, and I actually worked on a presidential save mission. I'll tell you about that one in a minute. But it's not healthy for the president to turn around 2 years later and say, that was our strategic plan. And the board said, what strategic plan? We never really had a bite at that apple. We didn't formally endorse it. But we just heard something about it. So there needs to be a level of participation just short of doing the planning. I had a president call me out of desperation and said, my boards are about to throw me out of here over a strategic planning process. What happened was that he went up to his cabin in the woods as part of his sabbatical, came back, and like Moses from the mountaintop, said, here it is. And the board, and first the faculty, and then the board went nuts to the point where his staying or going was a bit of a question. So it has to be collaborative in terms of keeping you all, and he knows how to do this with other stakeholders, part of the process. But I'm not a big fan of board strategic planning committees because those committees begin to trip into areas where they have neither the expertise, the time, you don't add that much value to it, so be careful.
I've got a couple of questions in my mind. You do, and then I want to come back to Tim on this committee. But go ahead, Chris.
You know, in the opening statement, you made it clear that the president was the chief executive officer, and the board's role was really to choose that president, allow the president to run the university, and if the president, taking your words, screws up, you remove him.
Sure.
In the period, and this is a little complicated, this dialogue, because while we want full transparency at these meetings, candor suffers a little bit because it's hard to talk about the people and individuals
in an open session.
In an open session, so I hope everybody will try to be respectful of my attempt to do that here. But in the period before the university suffered through its most complicated challenges last spring, I believe the board evaluated the president at the time, and there was not great unanimity about extending a contract, and
sure.
and that process greatly wounded the strength of the presidency at the University of Illinois. How can we evaluate? How can we run a process that does not wound the president by virtue of the process itself?
Great question, Christopher. And there are so many processes of assessment. first of all, I'm assuming that there are, is there not the opportunity for the board to deal in personnel matters in closed session,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
I look at presidential assessment as there are two elements to it. There should be an annual assessment of the president conducted by the board, which basically checks whether or not elements of the strategic plan, elements of his personal objectives for the forthcoming year have been met, holding the president accountable to the specific agreed set of priorities that the board and the president agreed would serve as his agenda for the forthcoming year. And if there were areas that were more successful than not, praise him for those and ask questions about those that were not, and hopefully there are good reasons behind that. That's an ongoing kind of assessment that I think any president wants and feels he or she needs regularly. Then there's a more comprehensive process of assessment. AGB recommends that a president be more 360'd, if you will, every 3, 4, or 5 years. Sometimes it's connected to contract renewal, sometimes it's just by virtue of that feels like an appropriate period in which to have more input from a broader set of stakeholders. So the board would weigh in other elements of students, alumni, even some faculty might weigh in as well. And that's far more traditional, you're familiar with the 360 process, way to assess the president in real depth. So not only against the specifics of his agenda, but also what progress the institution as a whole has made under his leadership. Where are the challenges? Where are the hills that still are left to climb? What are some of the hurdles? What are some of the areas that didn't meet with the kind of success that you were all hoping for during that course of time?
My belief is that annual review, the more comprehensive it is, allows for the release of steam, the release of pressure,
sure,
and a regular alignment of the board's hopes with the president's actions.
I couldn't agree more.
And that prevents the situation that occurs when you go 3 years and then have a review and everybody is...
And everybody's been holding back for 3 years and then it becomes an explosion. I couldn't agree more. And again, talking with presidents, and I talk with a lot of them, they really want that. They want the annual assessment because it allows them to share some thoughts candidly. You know, presidents don't succeed or fail typically in a vacuum. And the board is a significant part of a president's success or failure. So a president who's established a candid and open and trusting relationship with the board and or board leadership can not only receive information about his performance, but can also share his concerns about where the board has perhaps not done the heavy lift that's expected of it over the course of the year. So it's kind of a two-way assessment as well. The board has to be accountable, as does the president. But I couldn't agree more. I think a rigorous annual assessment protects against that more explosive, comprehensive assessment, and yet there's a place for that as well, I think. So I would, if you're not doing that, you're going to do it.
We're starting the day with talking about the president's assessment, and at the end of the day, we're going on to presidential succession.
It'll be a thorough day.
So, I mean, it's going to be a 24-hour.
But it really,
there's still more chairs over here.
Michael, it really has to do with the legacy you leave behind.
But I just want to say I agree completely. I think, Chairman Kennedy, and I've already talked a little bit about the need to have a session about goal setting for the year and followed at the end of the year by an assessment or an evaluation of my performance against the goals that the board, and usually goals are negotiated.
Absolutely.
Here's what I think I can do, here's what we want you to do, and so on.
And there is.
And they're usually intuitive. I believe in the president should file a formal performance review. I mean, so it's a long statement, not book length, but several pages, benchmarking my performance against the goals that were set.
Christopher, we have a model at HEB that we're refreshing. I'm talking about the annual assessment process.
Stan and I had some dialogue about that early on, and with Pam.
Sure.
And, you know, I think there's great respect for a lot of the assessment programs that you all have developed, and it's likely that we'll work that on.
I know there's some formal written materials, but my board at HEB tries to conduct itself as a college or university board, because they get a lot of questions, how do you all do this? And so we work very hard in most of the things we do to emulate best practice or demonstrate best practice. And we are right now refreshing I'm running point on that, how our board will conduct its annual assessment of me, and it's very much in line with what Michael's suggesting. So if that could be of help, Michelle or Christopher would be happy to share.
That'd be great.
Tim, I just wanted to come back. Did you have any thoughts about
observations
committee structure?
On committee? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I would echo a few things that Karen said. Being new to this, been a bit of a challenge getting up to speed, to the point where I feel that I can be an effective member of the committee. It reminds me of an expression we used to have in med school about all the stuff you needed to learn is like taking a drink out of a fire hose. I would welcome evaluation of our committee process content to help us improve our process and our outcomes. I think that would be a great idea. You know, because like I say, I'm a novice at this to start. I think it was past President White that told me when he discussed the rearranging of the committees from 14 down to 4, he told me that people were on so many committees and there were so many meetings scheduled that basically nobody showed up for anything. And so by the structure change that you did, I think that's been very successful, because at least for the hospital committee, we've had perfect attendance at all committee meetings. So that problem was solved. I guess the one big question I would have about our committee system is, since we pared it down like we did, do we think we're covering all bases? Are there any particular aspects we're missing? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out as a question.
Yeah.
Where does the hospital fiduciary oversight land within the board? The health center.
Basically, the board's ultimately responsible.
But it's in the committee.
No, it's in the board.
Full board, but you bring
right
the information.
The way I look at it, the function of the committee is to bring issues to the board for their consideration.
But what committee were you referring?
Hospital.
Okay, so there is a hospital committee. Is my question
correct?
Yes.
But the hospital committee itself doesn't decide anything.
No, I know that. I just wanted to be sure that was a
that's
hospital.
One of the four committees.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Hospital and audit.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Charles, I have a question.
You
oh, yes,
start
Sheena.
Some more people.
If we are forced to do less with less, it's kind of like Catch 22, where we're forced to do less with less, but then we're also trying to come up with a quality product that will attract investment.
Can you?
Oh, sure, sorry.
Yeah, speak up.
We're forced to do less with less, but at the same time, we need to come up with a quality product that will attract investment. Looking at the trend of how state money towards education has been continuously declining, how can the board rise above that and change the perception of state representatives and the governor to, actually get more funding? I mean, is that just a goal we're aspiring to, or is that something possible? If we do come up with a very good strategic plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect question. It's exactly right. And I'm not mandating that you do less with less. I think there's a certain set of practical realities that institutions can catch it any way they want, phrase it any way they want, but less with less is likely to be the case over the next period of time going forward. Where the board comes in on that, Rashina, I think, is goes back to what I said, having a clear sense of expenditures and financial obligations and understanding where more limited resources, if that in fact continues to be the case, are being invested. You know, the perfect case is the institution that had a board I work with that just loved maintaining a major in German, the German language. And yet they had virtually no students to justify its existence. But there was a passion within the board that we are the only institution in that valley in Pennsylvania that offers German as a major. So what's the choice? You want to be able to market an area that, or an academic curriculum, I picked on that one, just jumped into my head, but there are other more significant ones, to invest in a program that has limited return, limited interest, to retain all of the expense overhead related to that, or invest in a more productive area of academic focus that's more germane to the institute, to the state's public agenda. And those are the kinds of questions that today's boards are should be asking, and I think, and knowing Michael, the kinds of questions that a president would value a board asking. A little bit of pushback, not just to be difficult, not to be difficult for the sake of being difficult, but to asking the kinds of questions and to recognize that, that the business model that you are responsible for has changed, is changing, and will likely continue to have to change. How we invest and how we deliver an academic program is today, I think, at the heart of what your job as a board is. So ask questions about it. That's how you have to do it. Whether it's less than less or the same with less, one president figured out that line, and I thought it was relevant. But thanks for calling me on it. Yeah,
Carlos. Yeah, bro. You know, I think it's 12 or 13 people in the world. I think it's 13 people on the board. You know, yeah, you know, how does it compare across the country in terms of science? 13 people on the board, is that small, large?
Oh, for public boards, the average size is between.
What's your size?
What?
You know, school art size across the country.
Yeah, as Stan knows, private colleges and universities, the average size is between 29 and 35 board members. In large measure, the history there is that those are philanthropic boards and people are asked to give. Two things about that. One, public boards, I think, are too small. The average size until recently was between 9 and 11. Only now, we monitor this regularly, right, and I haven't looked at the most recent totals, which will be out in the next few weeks. But I sense we'll probably be seeing 11, 12, 13 on the public side. Virginia State now, and all of the public boards in Virginia, have just increased to 15. I think 15 is a nice number. But 11 is not, by comparison, woefully small for institutions that oversee systems the size of yours. So you're right in there.
Also, you know, having these young people on the board is fantastic, but how is that across the country? How common is it to have, you know, the students on the board?
Yeah, it's done differently. I think having students and faculty and those folks represented at the table is important. I think there are areas of consideration and policy decisions that students and faculty should not necessarily have a vote on. And across the states, that varies. When it comes to tuition or when it comes to other budget issues, I know at Virginia State, we thank the student and the faculty rep and send them out in the hall somewhere.
Yeah, but how common is it to have students on the board and stuff?
For public boards, it's very common.
Very common.
Overwhelmingly so.
Faculty too? Faculty as well?
Yeah. On public boards.
Because we don't have faculty, and I thought that that's something we should have. I think it's very crucial.
That's an issue for you all to consider. But in terms of the percentage of public institutions that have that level of representation, sometimes with vote, sometimes without vote, is fairly overwhelming. For private boards, it varies so much that I can give you as many with them as without them. Roosevelt University, up the street,
right,
has five voting faculty members on the board. Never seen anything like it, but it works at Roosevelt. It's part of the culture, part of the history, it works. There are many institutions, private institutions, where that would not work so well. Great question.
Charles.
I want to go back to speaking about the annual review of the president. Sorry. But every time we discuss any issue that was in the book, I try to place it in context of our university. And as we all know, we're in a state of huge transition in many different places. So would you recommend that a board is more delicate in assessing a president during a time like this?
Yes, I recommend.
Thanks for that one.
But you're already going to be talking about succession planning.
Let's talk.
No, I don't. Despite Michael's birthday. No, I don't. You have to think of it in two levels. An assessment of the president. You know, if a president really, as I said earlier, as Chris called me on it, you know, louses up, it's going to be known. And you're going to figure out your way through that. I know Michael's history. That's not going to happen. And so much of the president's assessment is really a conversation about what has the institution accomplished under his leadership over the preceding year as it relates to the objectives that he puts in front of this board for approval that he wants to be held accountable for a year later. So to the extent that it's a conversation, he's basically saying that beginning on July, whenever it was, July 1st to next June 30, he's going to take this university, put it on his back with his folks and your support, and move it from here to someplace else, forward, we all hope. And he wants to have a conversation about that a year from now to talk about the specific elements, what worked, what didn't, what your disappointments are, which I can promise you will be his disappointments before they become your disappointments, and to talk about what does it mean for the next year or two or three for the university. To be delicate doesn't help the university, it surely doesn't help the president, and it doesn't help the board be an independent fiduciary. So don't be too delicate. Don't be rude to demonstrate that you're a cowboy, but be clear, be accountable for what I said earlier, the whom and the what you're responsible for, and that's to serve the citizens of the state.
Let me raise one, maybe this will be a last question, and it would be a request for your ongoing assistance, because this is a work in progress. But when we, and Chris, you and I have talked about this, in terms of getting the right information to the board, have you seen a board where there is a good kind of scorecard or means of presenting the key metrics that the board and the president have chosen to follow?
Sure.
You know, kind of going back to this whole concept of what are our priorities and how do we get the data and how do we show our progress on them? Because we don't have that in place right now, but you know, it's kind of along the lines of with each packet of information that we get before a board meeting, there's an executive summary, a one or two page piece that tells us here's how we're doing, and it condenses a lot of what we're then going to have,
sure.
You know, much more reading.
Dashboard, sure.
A dashboard.
Yeah, and the answer is yes. We have seen very successful models that are efficient, and we've seen, and you and I teased about it earlier, boards move away from, you know, this kind of paper report. We've seen, with all due respect to the paper industry. So we've seen all manner of dashboards that help committees and boards facilitate their conversations. So any kind of help you want on that, just we're, you guys are members. We're working through Michelle, through Michael, through board leadership, whatever you all, yes. We are there for you.
I think that would be helpful too, just as we talk about our responsibilities to the people of Illinois. You know, to have a way to demonstrate that the investment that the state would be making in the University of Illinois is absolutely a sound investment, and here's how we demonstrate that, because, you know, this is what we're following, this is what we're showing, and this is the progress we're making.
We have a center within AGB that just focuses on public governance of public boards that would be more than willing to make
help
available
us develop
to you.
That.
Yeah, not a problem. When you're ready, tomorrow or later.
ask one question that I'm trying to understand this concept of maintenance of effort, which was part of the stimulus funding that the University of Illinois received.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, I guess, is that the federal government tied that stimulus money to a requirement that the states continue funding their universities mm-hmm. at that level, and that the state of Illinois, like any other state that took that money, has to make that commitment for 2011. But that in 2012, they're freed from those strings.
Yeah.
And they will be able to further reduce our budget without penalty from the federal government. Is that an accurate description of the?
Yeah, my sense is that's exactly right. And that's part of the reason, I think.
That's why people were falling off the cliff.
That's why the fall off the cliff phrase.
But that's a 2012 issue.
It's 2011, 2012.
Although we brought it here a year early, didn't we? We kind of started in Illinois, got a head start in that.
Yeah, the national talk that I've attracted is that at some point in fiscal year 2011, 2012, that's when the institutions are going to begin to fall off the cliff. But you're exactly right. I don't have the date to hand, but that's what you're facing.
We lost the stimulus funding this year.
Because the state didn't maintain it.
But the maintenance of effort provision continues through FY11. So that's the cliff question. You know,
Is it through the calendar year, Stan, or through a fiscal year?
Fiscal year.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's the fiscal year ending in 2012 where we.
I think it's the fiscal year 2012.
It is the fiscal year 2012.
Which starts next year.
The federal grant, the stimulus, said that you had it maintained 2009, 2010, and 2011 essentially at the same. The state had committed the same funding level. That's why the 2010 appropriation was set at the same level as the 2009 appropriation.
Right.
And so for purposes of, they believe they have maintained the appropriation they have set for 2011. They've kept it at the same level. So they kept this maintenance number. What all interpretations are, the 2012, fiscal year 2012, we lose that protection.
Isn't it false protection? I mean, the question is the difference between appropriation and actually following through.
That's what I meant by
Michael's referring to.
But a bad situation can get worse.
Great.
It can get much worse.
That's what we're trying to
get much worse. And that's why we have to plan for it right now, because you don't want to get there and not have some plan in place for dealing with it.
It gets back to that.
We've got to
anticipate we're going to have less. It's how do we continue to maintain the high level of expectation with less revenue?
That's why I actually was one of those presidents who said we have to do less with less.
Yeah, and
because
that's,
because you have to that has to be geared to our priorities.
Exactly right. You need to invest in your priorities. But Kristen is right. It's clearly a bad situation that can get a ton worse before it anywhere near begins to turn around. And what will turnaround in higher education in terms of state support ultimately look like? I'm not optimistic that over the tenure of a number of you on this board, you're going to see much change. We're creating a new business model, and it just goes back to what's your job.
We'd be pleased with no change. It's the prospect of
making getting worse
that makes it.
I think you're right, and I think we may well be headed in that direction.
Well, I hate to end on a note like that, but I think we have to.
Between succession planning and bad budgets, we're sure glad we can come and help.
Well, we want to thank you very much. This
my
has
pleasure.
Been very
good. Good luck to all of you, and again, as we could be helpful, please reach out, and through Michelle, clearly know how to reach us, so thank you, and good luck to you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Should we take a 10-minute break here?
We will take a 10-minute break. We'll just go to
the
next
one.
I'm
sure.
I'm
going to take a 10-minute break.